Welcome, everyone, to Tales from Planet Customer Experience. As always, my name is Brian Bruner.
And I'm Deliana Pavlova. We're a couple customer experience geeks who love sharing stories about customer experience. Today's episode is a little bit different since we don't have a guest, but Brian and I have had some recent personal experiences we thought would be good to share and discuss on today's episode. So maybe, Brian, I'll start with my recent experience and we can go from there.
Yeah, let's do it.
As you know, but maybe not very many of our listeners, in my free time, one of my personal hobbies is ballroom dancing. And I spend a lot of time, you know, practicing, taking lessons outside of work so I can participate in competitions and be on the floor in a competitive format. So I recently was part of a dance competition here in the Chicago area. And as I was embarking on this journey as a customer of this competition, of this business. So for those of you who are not familiar, in the competitive ballroom world, at least in the United States, there's kind of two big organizations that sponsor and organize competitions. There is an association that's very much focused on amateur dancers. And then there is another organization that's very much focused on professional dancers and what we call pro-am couples. So couples that consist of a professional and an amateur. So I was participating in one of those competitions recently. And what really stood out to me is, like I said, these industries, I mean, these are monopolies, essentially, right? There isn't a lot of businesses and organizations putting on these competitions. So a lot of the focus is on the organizers, on the professionals, but there isn't a ton of thought or focus on the amateur competitive dancer who's coming to these events. So what really kind of, maybe let's say, rubbed me the wrong way as I submitted my entries and participated in the competition, registered for the competition, there was no communication whatsoever in terms of entries have been received, you've been registered, you know, competition starts on a weekend, like up to 2 days before the competition, there was no information on schedule, right? Entries, anything like that. Yes, and I was having, you know, my family wanted to come watch. So, for example, my sister wanted to plan her day. So she had made some appointments on the weekends to take care of her own chores. So she kept asking me, okay, what time is this event going to be on so I can plan my day? And as we're getting closer and closer, and I have friends asking me, okay, is it going to be in the morning, in the afternoon? And I can't give them any information. There is nothing published on the website. You go on the website and even like 2 days before the event, it still said 2023 vendors coming soon. And I was like, seriously, I mean, when are you going to publish this information? We're practically, you know, coming to the event the day of, and there's no information. So to me, as a customer experience professional, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like, where's the transparency, right? Like, where is the, I mean, I'm not even talking about like delighting customers, going above and beyond. I'm simply talking about the key pieces of information. Yes, basic expectations as part of that experience that weren't there. But as I'm thinking more and more about this, I'm thinking, right, like they don't have an incentive, so to speak, right? Like this industry is not driven by providing exceptional customer experiences. So to me, this begs the question, in industries, in situations like this, how important is customer experience? Does it always matter, right? And should it matter? I mean, from my perspective as a customer, I think it absolutely should. I would have loved to have all of those things available to me and not stressing up till the last minute.
So let me just ask one clarifying question. So when you said that they don't give you a time, how long is your dance? Like, how long are you actually, you know, on the floor dancing as part of this competition? Is it like a number of minutes or I assume you're not dancing for like 2 hours or something.
Yeah, so it depends on the number of entries you're registered for, right? But like, so a typical dance lasts 90 seconds, so a minute and a half. But you're typically dancing in sets of five dances. So you're dancing for whatever, let's say like 5 minutes roughly, and you have different events. So maybe you'll dance in the morning, there will be some other events, you'll come back dance in the afternoon. So you want to have an idea of the schedule. And just as a comparison, right, because I've been on both sides, I've competed in the amateur circuit and as well as kind of in the pro-am circuit. And on the amateur side, in terms of technology and visibility, as soon as you sign up for a competition, you can see who signed up. Right. You can see if you're the only couple registered, if there's like five other couples registered, you can immediately see like that transparency is there. Whereas in the professional world, so to speak, in the pro-am world, that information, as my experience was this past weekend, is not available up till the day of. So to me, in comparison, it's not like it doesn't exist. It is possible. The technology is there, right? The, opportunities there to provide that information. And I mean, I can't speak to the reasons why they choose not to, but to me as a customer, I'm like, it is possible. You should be able to share that information. How come that's not the case?
So, and the reason I asked the question, because I just wanted to better understand. So for example, your family who wants to come in, it's not like you're going to be, you know, I'm thinking like if it's a, if we're a play on Broadway or something, they know that they're probably gonna have to block off several hours in an afternoon or in an evening. This is a very short period of time that they want to come and see you. You might be dancing for only a few minutes, and so they can't just come and sit there for 5 hours waiting for you to go on, because they could be sitting there for 5 hours and you don't go on at all. So when the when let's say the family comes, the spectators come, is there some sort of are there concessions, is there merchandise, are there things that people buy when they come to watch these, or is it pretty much you show up and do they pay money to come watch?
Yes, so there's certainly an entry fee, right, to enter the ballroom.
So your sister in this case, she's paying money to come watch you. And right. Yet she doesn't even know when to show up because she has no idea what time you're going to do
correct.
It. And you said you found out the day of?
We found out, I think, the day before. So I think competition kicks off on Thursday and they published like the final heats, I believe, on Wednesday.
Okay.
To answer your other question, in terms of concessions, right, typically these events are held in hotel ballrooms, right, where you have like big available space to dance. So in terms of concessions, obviously there's like the hotel, restaurant, and other facilities. But from the competition standpoint, the organizers would only, as I was mentioning, vendors earlier, they're typically vendors, but they're ballroom vendors. So they're vendors selling shoes or dresses or other ballroom accessories. They're not typically things my sister or spectators who are not dancers would be interested in. So from a spectator standpoint, there isn't a ton that's provided for that experience, right, of the spectator experience. There isn't any particular focus on that specific customer audience.
Okay. And the reason I asked that is I was trying to go down, because I think your question is such an interesting one of, does it matter, right? So I was trying to think, like, if people knew, If the spectator experience was better, because there's two things happening here, right? There's the spectator experience, and you're focused on the participant experience, right? As the one who's probably paying a lot more money to, I assume you have to pay some sort of fee to participate in that. And then the spectator, there's also an experience there, because I was trying to think, like you said, does it matter? And I was trying to think, well, if they had a better experience for the spectator, would that mean they could make more money because they're going to sell more, you know, through vendors or something like that? But maybe that's not as relevant here, but certainly for you. And I guess you're, if I'm understanding your point correctly, you're saying you can't say, well, I'm going to go take my and dance for, you know, for a different organization, because there is no other organization.
Correct. Yes. If you want to compete, this is the only circuit available, right? I mean, there is other opportunities outside of the US, but practically how many couples and people have that opportunity to, you know, travel the world to dance. So realistically, I mean, that is the only circuit available for most dancers.
But here's where, so I can see, you know, it's interesting, as you said, from your perspective, maybe to them, they don't care because they're the only game in town, right? And they're banking on the fact that there's enough people like you who are passionate about dance, who love it enough that you're like, listen, I'm going to go through a lousy experience, but I'm going to keep doing it because I love dancing and I don't have any other option to compete, right?
And I think that's exactly the case. And that's why I'm pondering this question, because within myself, I'm struggling with like, what's more important to me? Like, do I really, you know, stand my ground and say, good customer experience is very important to me and I'm not going to engage in this sport anymore, right? Versus I really love dancing. I want to compete and I kind of have to accept that this is the way things are.
Right. Right.
Or like, is there an impetus to improve experience in this area? Like, is there an incentive for this business and this industry to improve?
Well, and I guess my argument in favor of that would be, I'm guessing, well, as you have explained to me, and this is a world that's completely foreign to me, that the competitive dance world, but it's probably not well, and I may be wrong on this, but it's probably not a world that's growing, exploding, and tons of people coming in, right? So
it is a niche market for sure. It is a very small audience.
Right. So the question is, are they contributing to their own demise over time? Right now, it may not, because there's people like you who you're probably going to continue to do it, and because you just love it, you're going to, well, just suck it up and I'll just deal with the lousy experience. But somebody else who may be just trying out dance for the first time, they go, man, if that's what this is all about, forget it. I just won't do it anymore. And so it may not be as immediate as, you know, a store or a restaurant that has really terrible service that could go out of business fairly quickly because people stop going there. In this case, it might be a longer term loss of business, but I think it's still relevant in that, if you know, people are going there to have a good experience. Now, the gist of the good experience, if I'm understanding correctly, is the dancing, right? I mean, that's the fun part. That's where you get to go out. You get to, you know, to show your stuff, so to speak. The all the rest of it is okay. I'll deal with that. But it's still part of the experience. And so, if people are paying, especially when people are paying money, right?
Exactly. And this is not a cheap sport, right? It's not like, I'm also a runner. It's not like just buying running shoes and going out there and running, right? Like, it takes a lot more investment in outside of entry fees, right? Like dresses, whatever, shoes, et cetera, hair, makeup, and all of the above, right? So it's not compared to some other things I could be doing as a hobby. It's definitely a more significant investment. So that's why I'm questioning, right? Should this experience be like this, or right, for all of the money that we're putting into this, maybe we deserve a better experience?
Yeah. Well, and I go back to something else you said, that you're not asking to be picked up in a limo and you know, whisked right. away, and you're put up in a luxury suite the night before, and you know, like, and you know, and they're giving you caviar and you know, shrimp or whatever fancy food is, you know, for you to be able to compete. That's not what you're asking for is some simple, you know, just
I'm
give me a website.
Transparency. Exactly. I'm asking for real-time information, transparency, right? Better communication. I just feel like the focus of the industry today is very much on the organizers, right? There isn't a lot of focus on what's the experience on the other side, other than we're providing them a floor to dance on, music, and some judges, which, like we've talked about in many other industries, right? That to me, that's table stakes. Yes, for me to have a competition, I need to have, you know, all of those elements. But is there something more? And especially because, like I said, I've been on both sides in the amateur and kind of the pro-am circle. I see that it's possible, right? The technology is there. So why are we not utilizing it? And even as a comparison in some of the pro-am competitions, judging happens on a piece of paper, right? To me, that's like very outdated. There's technology these days. Why are we not doing this? You know, there's ways.
You could probably do it with a Google Doc, right?
It's just, there's things that I think can definitely be a lot better. There's a lot of improvement, I think, opportunity here. But that's kind of what begs the question. So will that ever happen? Because there isn't really, to your point, maybe this is kind of like a slow death of the industry, right? Like, hopefully not. But yeah, because the longevity of, you know, competitive dancer, I think once you're in it, you want to dance for as long as you can.
Right, right.
But even to me, that is raising the question that I'm saying, well,
I want to do this again?
Yes. Do I want to do this again?
Because the other threat, of course, here could be that somebody could start a new organization, right, and provide a better service, a better experience for the dancer. And now someone's going to start this business and they're going to, they heard the idea on our podcast, Ileana.
Before you know it, now suddenly there's like multiple
organizations. Yeah. But again, there's probably not enough demand to support, you know, another organization. But I mean, that could be the other reason, you know, to have that. If someone else came in and had such a fantastic experience that all the dancers said, you know what? I've got a limited amount of money that I can spend on this. Rather than spend it here where I'm having a lousy experience, I'm going to go over there. And maybe at the beginning it's you know, the competition's not as good because people are still, but I mean, that is a possible threat. Now, I am assuming there's, you know, to get judges and there's some sort of infrastructure that's involved that's keeping other organizations from coming in. But that, I mean, to me, that's another reason to make sure that you provide good customer experience. In addition to all the things that we always talk about, which is just, it's the right thing to do and it's better, you know, makes you happier and your employees happier, and, you know. So I think it's that's the other threat where, you know, does it matter? Yeah, it does, right? But it made me think of I just had a conversation with somebody in my family who works for the correctional facility where he lives. And he does a number of things, but one of the things is occasionally he'll receive phone calls from family members of people who are in the prison system. And so he shared with me that he tries very hard to provide a good, you know, to be friendly. He's like, listen, these people, they're already stressed out because they've got a loved one who's, you know, who's been accused of something, or maybe they've actually done something and they're, you know, in the system and it's a hard thing. So he said, I just feel like I want to give them a good experience. But we were talking about that, you know, they don't send out surveys afterwards, you know, like how likely are you to recommend our correctional, you know, system or whatever. It's interesting that you brought this up, that, you know, does customer experience matter in a situation like that? You know, maybe not, but you know, in his case, he provides that, he tries to provide that because he just feels like it's the right thing to do. Right. But as an organization, they're not necessarily incentivized to provide that. Now, maybe the government will, you know, implement some sort of, incentive program or something like that. But, you know, the way it is designed today, that's one where you're like, okay, maybe customer satisfaction isn't as critical in that world. But, you know, I think the question is, do we do it because it's the right thing? Do we do it just because we want to, you know, be kind to people and because we're humans and we should be kind to each other? Hopefully that's the reason. But, you know, it's an interesting question from an organizational perspective. Do you have an incentive to provide good service? And, you know, we've talked many times about the airline industry and how, you know, and they're not the only, you know, flight attendants are not the only people who are in the situation, but at least my understanding is they're not necessarily evaluated or incentivized on the service that they give the passengers, right? And so some of them, you know, most of them, I think are friendly and kind and nice and competent and all that because, you know, they want to be and they're trying to do the best that they can. But some have been around for a long time and they just don't care anymore. And so, and there's not a lot that anyone can do about that. So missing that incentive, I think, sometimes can cause challenges for different industries. Sure.
I agree. I think that's definitely a factor. And I mean, in this case, right, when you don't have that incentive, and very often we talk about, you know, ROI and the returns of a better customer experience, but in very different industry, I think in this case, right, like that's almost absent because this is the only, only business in town or so there isn't really that incentive that a better customer experience might necessarily provide better returns because we have a more or less, I think, a stable pool of customers. So to speak to your point, right, I don't think that the industry is necessarily growing or shrinking. I don't have facts on that, but I think it's a pretty stable customer.
Yeah, I just thought of another experience, though, or another example, and I know we're getting close to our ending time here, but think about the post office, right? The United States Post Office for many years was a monopoly, the only game in town. They didn't. And so their service, you know, it's legendary. In fact, if you ask my daughter, she gets really upset thinking about going to the post office because she's had such terrible experiences. And by the way, I'm sure there are people who give wonderful experience and there's good, you know, there's always good people everywhere who are trying to do the best they can. But look at what's happened to the post office where suddenly FedEx, UPS, all these other DHL, all these companies have come in and taken away business from them in a pretty serious matter to where now they're looking at, you know, do we provide Saturday service anymore? And do, you know, like it's, even though they were a monopoly, they didn't provide good service. That's one of the reasons why other companies came in and started providing much better service. That's unfortunately harmed them a lot. Now, is that going to happen in the ballroom dance, the competitive ballroom dance industry? I don't know, but you know, it could be, right? I mean, that's, you always have that threat of somebody else coming in and saying, "Hey, I'm going to do this better and I'm going to take away all your business."
And I think that was a fantastic point because when you mentioned this the first time, right, my initial thought was, yeah, where's the Uber of competitive ballroom dancing, right? That just would come and like completely flip the model and do something different that's very much focused on the customer, which to your point, right? Yeah, there's different audiences, there's spectators and competitors, but like the competitor is the, you know, bigger customer audience, someone who really takes that and puts it at the center of the competitive experience, does something completely different. What will happen then, right? So I think there's definitely opportunity out there for sure for anyone who's interested in the new
business. We need to end this podcast and put together our business plan here, Diliana.
Yes, I'll be happy to look at those for anyone who's interested in going into the competitive ballroom world.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you, Diliana, for bringing this up. I've enjoyed it. For our listeners, we know we've been a little bit lax in getting our episodes out as quickly as we should, and we're trying to get better at that. So we appreciate your patience and for sticking with us while we try to manage, like so many other podcasters, trying to manage our own lives as well as doing this. But we do love doing this. We love hearing from our listeners. And as always, if you have a story that you'd like to share, email us. planetcustomerexperience@gmail.com, and we can share that on the screen, or excuse me, on the screen. We can share that on the air for you, or you can come on and share it as well. And we really appreciate all the input that we've received. And Diliana, anything else you want to add here before we close up?
No, thank you for your thoughts and great conversation. I mean, it's definitely, you know, been something in the back of my mind that I wanted to have a discussion about. So thanks for doing this. And thanks to all of our listeners. Like Brian said, we're always happy to bring customer experience stories to the forefront. So we'll keep them going.
Well, thank you very much. And to all of our listeners, have a great rest of your day and greetings from Planet Customer Experience.